Aku sangat mencintaimu. Kau anggap aku dalam hatimu. Semuanya spesial bagimu. Betapa hancurnya hatiku. Ternyata kau ada yang punya. Goodbye, my love. My heart was broken.
Well, listener, thank you for still staying tuned in Indonesia Today through our audio streaming via inews.id and RRI Digital. I'm Nuka Kusumawati and I will accompany you to complete your weekend with highlight of the week. Here's the headlines. Indonesian government offers shopping promotion to celebrate Indonesia's 80th Independence Day. Commemorating ASEAN Day, Foreign Minister Sugiono calls for a peaceful, people-oriented ASEAN. Now the news in details. The first info is about Deputy Minister of Trade Diah Roro S.T. Widya Putri said the 2025 Indonesia Shopping Festival is a special gift for the public in celebrating the 80th anniversary of Indonesia's independence, which falls on August 17. The festival features festive promotion, including up to 80% discount, flash sales, and MSMEs product showcases. Ofra has the details.
Ada beberapa promosi seperti harga khusus di jam-jam tertentu, jadi ada flash sale. Lalu kemudian diskon juga mulai dari 10% hingga 80%.
The government, through the Minister of Trade, is holding the 2025 Indonesia Shopping Festival to boost domestic consumption and strengthen the role of micro, small, and medium enterprises. Speaking at the festival launch press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday, Deputy Minister of Trade Diah Roro S.T. Widya Putri said the program is allowing the public to enjoy shopping at more affordable prices while celebrating the 80th anniversary of Indonesia's independence.
Ada beberapa promosi seperti harga khusus di jam-jam tertentu.
There are several promotions, such as special prices during certain hours, so there are flash sales and discount ranging from 10% to 80% on selected items sold in different locations. There are also promotions for local and MSME products and more. So there are three main activities that we hope will not only brighten the celebrations of Indonesia's 80th independence anniversary, but also serve as a gift for the public to enjoy shopping.
Agar bisa berbelanja.
The Deputy Minister also noted that this year marks the fourth edition of ISF. Over time, the event has developed into a consistent, creative, and impactful national agenda. She emphasized that shopping programs like ISF are not merely promotional events, but are real driver of trade activity and a positive stimulus for the retail and MSME sectors across Indonesia. ISF 2025 is initiated by the Indonesian Shopping Center Management Association and will be held simultaneously in major cities across the country from August 14 to 24, 2025. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Next, we have information about August 8 is commemorated as ASEAN Day. This commemoration is not just a celebration, but should be an opportunity to realize ASEAN Visions 2025. Ranoff has the details.
Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono has reaffirmed Indonesia's commitment to fostering a peaceful ASEAN region. He made this statement while representing Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto at the 58th anniversary of ASEAN at the ASEAN headquarters in Jakarta on Friday. Sugiono emphasized that the celebration is not merely a ceremonial event but pivotal moment to ensure the realization of the ASEAN Vision 2045.
And I think that in our collective aspiration that ASEAN will continue to lead in building a region that is peaceful, resilient, innovative, and people-centered. A region that thrives through unity and shared responsibility.
During the same event, ASEAN Chair Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim highlighted that the ASEAN Vision 2045 outlines long-term goals for creating a resilient, innovative, and community-oriented region. However, according to him, ASEAN's success is determined by the steps taken now.
ASEAN Vision 2045 sets out long-term goals for a region that's resilient, innovative, and people-centered. It is a forward-looking document, but its success depends on the actions we take now, and from improving regional connectivity to strengthening food and energy security.
Anwar further emphasized Malaysia's commitment to ASEAN centrality, which ensures that ASEAN remains at the heart of regional dialogue and cooperation, not only in a formal sense, but also in substantive ways, Ranoff was of Indonesia.
Now we have information about Indonesia's Trade Minister Budi Santoso officially opened the kick-off and sharing session of the ASEAN Online Sale Day 2025. He encouraged Indonesian micro, small and medium-sized enterprises to boost exports, especially to Southeast ASEAN countries. Andi Romdoni has the report.
Indonesia's Trade Minister Budi Santoso has called on micro, small and medium-sized enterprises to expand exports to ASEAN countries using the momentum of the ASEAN Online Sale Day, which takes place from August 8 to 10, 2025. He urged local businesses to actively target export markets and showcase the full potential of the Indonesian products on the global stage. Speaking at the kick-off and sharing session of the ASEAN Online Sale Day 2025 at the Ministry of Trade Auditorium in Jakarta on Thursday, Budi stated that this year's regional e-commerce campaign carries the theme A Click to Prosperity, which aims at boosting online shopping while promoting key ASEAN products. He also emphasized the critical role of e-commerce in supporting export efforts by small businesses. Hopefully, today's event and sharing session will be useful, especially for our small businesses to better understand products and markets in ASEAN countries. Budi further emphasized the importance of collaboration across sectors to support the Ministry of Trade's UMKM Bisa Export Program. He hoped that this synergy will continue to grow. A similar statement came from Director General of International Trade Negotiations at the Ministry of Trade, Jatmiko Briswicaksono, who expressed hope that ASEAN Online Sale Day 2025 would bring real benefits and support the UMKM Bisa Export Initiative. He also highlighted the growing importance of e-commerce in enhancing the competitiveness of Indonesian small businesses. Since 2020, the Ministry of Trade has served as both the task force and implementing body for ASEAN Online Sale Day. The Ministry also plays an active role in strengthening ASEAN's economic recovery, particularly through e-commerce. ASEAN Online Sale Day is a cross-border digital marketplace that connects businesses and consumers across Southeast Asia. Held annually to celebrate ASEAN's founding in August 8, the initiative supports regional digital integration, strengthens business confidence, and provides a strategic platform for boosting the regional economy amid global uncertainty. According to data from the Ministry of Trade, Indonesia's e-commerce transaction value reached 487 trillion rupiah in 2024, a 7.3% increase from the previous year. The sector accounts for approximately 75% of Indonesia's digital economy's gross merchandise value, which is projected to reach $90 billion, equivalent to around 1,400 trillion rupiah, and continue growing. Andi Romdoni, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's move on to our next info. The United Nations World Food Program has expressed its commitment to support Indonesia's free nutritious meals program. Dika Dian Ananda has the details.
Kami ucapkan selamat datang dalam acara Forum Internasional Pembelajaran Global dalam Pemberian Makanan Bergizi.
On the second day of the International Forum on the Free Nutritious Meals Program held on Thursday in Jakarta, Indonesia expressed its intention to collaborate with the United Nations World Food Program, or WFP. A proposal warmly welcomed by WFP Country Director Jennifer Rosenzweig. Rosenzweig stated that Indonesia is on track to become one of the countries with the largest school meal programs in the world. Through its partnership with the Global School Meals Coalition, the WFP hopes that Indonesia will not only meet the nutritional needs of its population, but also serve as a role model for other nations.
This is not only just a tremendous national milestone that I think will have impact, I'm confident will have impact for the coming decades here in Indonesia. Indonesia is also poised and on the cusp of becoming one of the largest national meals programs globally.
The panel discussion also addressed both the opportunities and challenges of the Free Nutritious Meals Program. Tigor Pangaribuan, Deputy for Systems and Governance at the National Nutrition Agency, emphasized that the program aims to generate cross-sectoral benefits. These include extending the duration of schooling by using free meals as an incentive for students to stay in school and creating job opportunities for local communities.
Kalau program ini sukses, Bapak Ibu.
If this program is implemented successfully, it is expected to reach 82.9 million beneficiaries. To support this, we will need around 30,000 kitchens or nutrition service units. Each unit will require 50 workers, meaning the program could create 1.5 million direct jobs in Indonesia. And that's just for the meal preparation process. It doesn't yet include jobs from suppliers, cooperative providing food ingredients, or farmers who will need to reopen and expand their agricultural land. If we estimate one worker supports a family of four, the program could potentially impact up to 60 million people.
Itu yang langsung ke proses pemberian makannya, belum lagi supplier yang bergabung, belum lagi koperasi yang harus menyediakan bahan pangan, belum lagi petani-petani yang harus membuka lagi lahan pertaniannya. Kalau kita kemarin melakukan perhitungannya, itu dikali 4, jadi 1,5 juta dikali 4, kita memprediksi akan terbuka 6 juta lapangan pekerjaan.
Tigor added that in the next month, the Free Nutritious Meals Program is expected to reach around 20 million recipients, including students, pregnant women, breastfeeding mothers, and children under 5 years old. Dika Dian Ananda, Voice of Indonesia.
Our next info is about Bank Indonesia's Governor Perry Warjio has officially opened Karya Kreatif Indonesia 2025 with more than 360 MSMEs attended the event. Putri Cahaya Purnama has the details.
Siap memulai prosesi peresmian pada hitungan ketiga. 1, 2, 3.
Bank Indonesia Governor Perry Warjio opened the annual Karya Kreatif Indonesia 2025 event at the Jakarta International Convention Center or GICC on Thursday. Over the years, Karya Kreatif Indonesia has become a platform for the development of Indonesian micro, small and medium enterprises or MSME nurtured by Bank Indonesia or BI together with strategic partners. In his remarks, Perry Warjio stated that BI has consistently been committed to strengthening MSME. He mentioned that there are at least three strategic pillars that BI has implemented to strengthen MSME. First, BEI, together with National Crafts Council and designers, has conducted a rigorous curation of MSME products for Karya Kreatif Indonesia 2025.
I assure you, our products are the best. They have been curated by National Crafts Council, Regional Crafts Council, led by Mrs. Selfie. They have been curated by designers and priced at producer rates.
Dan dengan harga produsen.
Furthermore, Perry Warjio also stated that BEI has strengthened SME by adopting digital payments, specifically KRIS. Currently, KRIS is used by 57 million users, with 39.3 million of them being SME.
Since we have also connected our KRIS with Malaysia, Singapore, and Thailand, by the middle of this year, our KRIS will be accepted in Japan. And by the end of this year, our KRIS will be connected with China's QR code.
Insya Allah, akhir tahun ini, KRIS kita bisa connect dengan QR-nya China, Tiongkok.
Furthermore, Perry Warjio also said that BEI is improving the financial literacy of MSME, including the financial inclusion. Karya Kreatif Indonesia can be visited for free from 7 to 10 August 2025 at Hall B, GICC, Jakarta. The event showcases various high-quality SME products, ranging from fashion, home decor, and more. Not only that, it also features interactive activities such as talk show, business matching, and cooking shows. Putri Chayapurnama, Voice of Indonesia.
Coming up next, information about Indonesia and New Zealand have agreed to enhance cooperation in the agricultural sector, with a focus on increasing export to key commodities such as crude palm oil or CPO and coffee. Ofra has the details.
Ini kedatangan tamu dari Menteri Pertanian dari New Zealand, juga Menteri Pertanian dan Investasi. Kita akan memperkuat kolaborasi ke depan. Kami baru saja tanda tangan MOU.
Indonesian Minister of Agriculture Andi Ambran Sulaiman welcomed New Zealand's Minister of Trade, Agriculture, Investment and Forestry, Todd McClay, in Jakarta on Thursday. During the meeting, the two countries agreed to strengthen agricultural collaborations, particularly in technology and innovation exchange. This commitment was formalized through the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding between the Indonesian and New Zealand's governments. Minister Ambran urged New Zealand to further open its market to Indonesian export commodities, including CPO, rubber, cocoa, and coffee. This move is expected to foster balance and mutually beneficial trade between the two countries.
Kami mendorong CPO, kemudian karet, kakao, kopi, terutama kopi.
We are promoting CPO as well as rubber, cocoa, and coffee, especially coffee. New Zealand has agreed to increase imports of these products from Indonesia. This is a mutual beneficial partnership at a time when global trade faces challenge. We are seizing this opportunity to significantly boost our agricultural exports, particularly for premium products like CPO, where Indonesia is the world's top producer. We also propose coconut exports, which were well received.
Unggul seperti CPO, kita nomor satu dunia. Kemudian kelapa juga kami tawarkan, dan mereka terima dengan baik.
Meanwhile, Mr. McClay expressed his support for the agreement, stating that New Zealand is ready to assist Indonesia in achieving food self-sufficiency and implementing its free nutritious meal program for school children.
When New Zealand and Indonesia will cooperate in agriculture and agricultural technology to exchange ideas and to exchange innovation to help meet the President's ambitious goal of increasing food production and self-sufficiency, and particularly in feeding children in schools.
Indonesia is also expanding export opportunities for tropical fruits, with pineapples already entering the New Zealand market. Other key horticultural products such as bananas, mangoes, and papayas are under consideration. Additionally, the two countries agreed to collaborate in geothermal energy development. As part of this initiative, Indonesia received a 15 million New Zealand dollar grant from New Zealand to support clean energy projects. Ofra Regina, Face of Indonesia.
Last but not least is about representative of European Union delegation to Indonesia, Stefan Mikati, praised Indonesia's Blue Economy Initiative, Blue Food Assessment or BFA, and Indonesia's Blue Economy Index or IBEI. Putri has the details.
Bersama ini saya luncurkan buku Blue Food Assessment Indonesia dan Indonesia Blue Economic Index.
Indonesian Ministry of National Development Planning, or BAPENAS, and development partners launched two new initiatives to boost the blue economy on Wednesday. The initiatives are the Blue Food Assessment and the Indonesia Blue Economy Index. Speaking at the event, representative of EU delegation to Indonesia, Stefan Mikati, praised Indonesia's vision for the blue economy.
My point is that they really do showcase Indonesia's forward-looking leadership and the vision of the needs and of the strategy.
Mikati also highlight the global importance of the blue economy in addressing challenges like climate change, food security, and poverty. He said that the EU seeks to collaborate with, not lecture Indonesia on these vital issues.
I will try to make sure that on the European Union side, we continue not to lecture the world and Indonesia, but just to share our experience on all these issues.
At the same event, Indonesian Minister of National Development Planning, Rahma Pambudi, stated that the launch of Blue Food Assessment and the Indonesia Blue Economy Index represented a tangible step toward assessing and cultivating the potential of blue food.
Index ini akan menjadi alat ukur pembangunan ekonomi biru berbasis data yang
komprehensif. This index will serve as a comprehensive data-driven tool for measuring the development of the blue economy, providing a holistic overview of its performance and achievements across three main dimensions: social, economy, and environment.
In closing his speech, Minister Pambudi invited everyone to strengthen the blue economy and blue food as pillars of sustainable future growth. Putri Cahaya Purnama, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that was some information that happens in Indonesia this week on Highlight of the Week.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Someday I won't be looking down. and we'll sing a little song.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Thank you for staying tuned in Indonesia Today. Listener, now let's listen to VOI Talk on Indonesian Game Development, What's Next? With Franciscus Ricky Fabriano Ongo Wijoyo, the game developer Malang CEO Klapa 6 Games, hosted by Stefanus Wow.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. And today we'll be talking about the game development and maybe the latest game from Indonesia. We are going to talk with the research and development at game developer Malang and also CEO at Klapa 6 Games. We have Ricky Fabriano. Good afternoon, Ricky.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me here.
Yes, so in the middle of 2025, while people are reviewing about the economy, the politics, and also the global situation, we are so interested in how far have we been in moving forward with the game industry in the country. So how would you like to say about it?
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for having me here again. My name is Ricky Fabriano, and thank you for the chance of representing our community in from Malang. As for the game industry development in Indonesia, I cannot really say about, I cannot really represent everybody because the nature of game development is very, very various. You cannot compare those who have started like in from a decade ago or maybe even more before that, to the ones who just getting started in the game industry. Okay, so regarding the development, I think it's quite positive in a way that people are now starting to see game development as one of the serious industry. I mean, not just like hobby, but it also represents like the real thing, the real economic driver, because nowadays I think the paradigm in the young people moving into the tech industry is going not just limited to developing apps or developing like web services, but also people are starting to talk about games. And also what is encouraging is like during the last months of last year, there are also the presidential executive order to accelerate the game industry for the whole country in Indonesia. And yeah, I think we're just getting started, and it's encouraging to see a lot of young people, a lot of new graduates, they want to be involved and participate in game industry now.
Okay, so there's a shift and people are giving more spotlight for game. It's not only something to play, but it also a serious thing that needs to be developed in the country. And you also mentioned about that the government is quite serious about it. And yet you also said that we have just started. But is there any kind of significant change from last year to this year that you have felt, especially for our game developer community in Malang?
Yeah. As for, probably I will talk about specifically in Malang, the growth is serious. And I mean, not just by numbers, the quality wise, our developer here locally in Malang, I can say that the enthusiasm is high. And then, people are this young graduate, a new fresh graduate, they are creating products not just for hobby anymore. They are starting to think about how to sell the games. They are starting to think about how would we deliver the product not just for play things like for just having fun, but more like how can we sell this to gain investor, gain publishers, and then eventually, I mean, ultimately, of course, we want our products to be played by as many as people as possible. And I think, yeah, from that point of view, it's really encouraging. Probably I can say that in our, like for example, in our Discord or WhatsApp community, there are more than 500 people involved. So it's all not just developers, but also enthusiasts like the media, the journalists, and then some of them are like, you know, from the animation industry. Some of them are from the music industry. Because when we talk about games, games are not just like close-knit industry, but it's more like a multidisciplinary team. So you need artists, you need programmers. That's the core part. And then you need animators. Then you need a music producer. And then you need sound engineer. And we can go more complex than that, a lot more complex than that, like in a higher sophisticated game development. People are hiring artists, like actors, and then for voiceover, and then they involved a lot of publisher, content creators. So yeah, the game industry itself does not represent just the game developers, but we have like a big ecosystem that is waiting for us, and that is that we can tap into, and then that we can tap into and see the potential it's growing as an economic driver.
Okay, so it can absorb a lot of job for, or create a lot of job for a lot of people, a lot of job opportunities for them. And it feels like you have been talking about economy, about the numbers and development. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about games itself. So I'd like to know, there are a lot of games in the in that is popular in Indonesia and also outside Indonesia. We can say the MMORPG, MOBA, and also AAA games. How far are we from creating those games? We know Indonesia have the MOBA game like Lokapala, something like that. And even talking about the AAA games, people are surprised by Clair Obscur Expedition 33. It was so fantastic, defeating the quote unquote defeating the Final Fantasy series and something like it. And in Indonesia, how far are we from doing that?
Yeah, I hope we're not that far. I hope, I wish, but it is not something that we can say that we are getting closer. But we are working to get closer to that. But to be honest to ourselves, it's still a far journey to reach that. But again, but the encouraging things are probably not so long ago. There is one studio from Bandung. They are creating an original IP, and it's a good game, and it's called The Axe of Blood, for example. So we are starting to believe that we can do that. We can do just that. Like we utilize the 3D engine, 3D games, not just like the casual, the usual indie, quote unquote indie aesthetics using pixel arts and then 2D arts. But again, if we talk about the presentation of the game itself, it's beyond that. I mean, Steve, you mentioned earlier about Clair Obscur, right? But then again, one of the most respected, most beloved games from last year was Balatro, and it was like only just 2D games. And if we talk about getting closer to the AAA, and then getting closer to those crazy indies with a lot of capitals invested in it. I mean, we need to look a little bit deeper than just the visual presentation, not just about that, but probably I would say it like this. The game itself is actually fundamentally offers entertainment and fun. So I think the game should aim just that. How could we deliver fun and entertainment for people, not just focusing on how can we nail it, like visually, I mean, visually nailed it and wow people on the first time they saw the trailers, the video, the gameplay video. There are a lot of examples that probably people see first trailers, they are very excited, they get excited, and then they try to play the game and then just not as fun as I think it was. Yeah, in that regards, I think we are not too far from reaching that gap with the industry from the international, the global scene. I mean, yeah, I mean, if you see like the Clair Obscurs, those kinds of games, they are really high, they have really high production value, and high production value equals cost, and the capital speaks to if we want to achieve those kinds of level. But then again, let me iterate that from the fun side of things, the mainstream games probably not always as fun as you think it is. There are lots of games from indie scene that offers like novelty, offers like unusual fun that you don't really get from the AAA, the mainstream.
Yes. Yeah. There are a lot of choices. Like, not all people can. Do you even know Hylix?
Hylix? Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't.
The game is so simple, but the visual is quite disturbing for people. But it's not disturbing as in their blood or gore, but it's just because it's art, it's so disturbing. People cannot comprehend it. But what I would like to emphasize in here is that we agree that game should be fun and it brings joy to people. At least it has to reach that one. And now I'd like to go to your company about the Klapanom Games. I heard that you just your latest game, it's Sunset Drive.
Yeah.
I got from my producer, it's about visual novel and puzzle. So the drive doesn't has anything to do with, like, I was talking about driving something, maybe I'm wrong, something like that. So can you tell me about it?
Yeah. So the game itself, the Sunset Drive, it's not really a game about driving, but it's the experience of the driving. I mean, so the game takes the perspective of not the driver, but the passenger, actually. And it is a visual novel. It is short, very short, by the way. You can play it just under 1 hour. It is a very short game that we try to emulate the experience when you go on a road trip. So we designed the game to be not stressful, to be like a fleeting game, like you can just get into the game and then watch the characters interact with each other, and then on the between dialogues, you get a couple of choices, and then you pick the choices, and it may lead you to some detours. So you stop, and then when you stop at some places, it turns to a puzzle game. It's a pretty simple, classic jigsaw puzzles that you will want to finish the pictures, and then reveals the memory of that adventure. So it's like you are opening a photo album, and then you uncover, and then you remember reminiscing what happens in that particular place. So that's about Sunset Drive. And when you play it, and at the end of one playthrough, you get to see, you get to view the album, and then there are a total of 8 places, and among those 8 places, you can see that, oh, I get this one. I haven't visited this one. That what you want to makes you want to try to drive again, and then uncover all the places. And it's we put a very beautiful illustrated visuals for that, hand painted illustrations. And from our in-house artist, which is he is also a comic artist, by the way, and yeah, so that's right. You can just play it under an hour and before bedtime, maybe just to distress and just to end your day on a positive note.
Okay, yeah, I'm googling the. How do we call it? Sound to Drive Clap and Nom, and it appears that you also presented people. If listener are curious about a game, you can Google Sound to Drive Space Clap and Nom, and they will bring you to the website of Clap and Nom, and there is the press kit, and you can see all the visuals and also explanation in there, which is quite nice. And then my question is, talking about the visual novel, how strong? I mean. It's like a visual novel, some parts of it, right? How strong is the writing in here? Because if we take a look into, well, a very old game, which now turns into a very big anime franchise. Are you familiar with Fate Stay Night, something like that?
Yep.
Yeah. It seems that writing is also important, even a mobile game like Garden Merch, something like that. Because the writing is so strong, how confident are you with the writing in this?
Yeah, talking about writing for the narrative of the game, that is also one of the main focus in Club Anon because, yeah, everybody in Club Anon, all the founders and all the members in the studio, we grew up playing games that has good writing, that that lingers after you play it. Like when you play the game and then you keep talking about it, then you keep talking about the characters, not the gameplay anymore. The gameplay doesn't matter. Like, for example, Final Fantasies, all those great RPGs, they are kind of like, when you talk about it, you kind of forgot how you play the game, but you kind of remember about the characters and everything. And the visual novel itself, it is one of the main elements that builds a good RPG in the beginning. I mean, like in the old days, RPGs, people are just using them, using the elements from visual novels to really push the stories. And with Sunset Drive, and what we do at Club Anon, we want to step back a little bit because, again, as indies, we are like competing with those crazy mainstream AAA titles. We cannot go like head to head on with them, right? So we want to pick one element, and this time it's the visual novel, the narrative part of the game, and we put a lot of effort in the writing. And by the way, the writing, it was written like really, the story of Club Anon, the Sunset Drive, actually, it was like we need an antidote for our own studio. So it was like five or six years ago, in 2019, as I remember, we were exhausted and burnout from doing the project that is too big for us all at that time. And usually game studios go on a game jam. We go on a game jam or we do our own game jam just to break the routines. And we decided to let's make something that we can have fun with no stress at all. So the writings, we want to write a very lighthearted, very easy, like you can feel like it's like everyday conversation when you play the game. But at the end of the game, hopefully people will also get the same experience as us, and people will, that had played the game before, they felt something that it's more than just conversations. It's more than just simple conversations. It's that simple conversations that matter, because we now live in a very noisy world. We are very busy, and then some, and oftentimes we kind of like neglect or kind of take simple things for granted, and that's what we want to remind people who play the game, that those simple things that you may overlook or you may neglect, or I don't care about it anymore, or something like that, it does matter in your life.
Wow, it's so, wow, the backstory behind the game itself is so deep, and yeah, we need that break from life itself, and just like you said, maybe while we are playing this too, we will also have the same healing moment, just like you guys are experiencing after that very big and maybe stressful project, and finally just, well, take a rest and enjoy your time while you can do it. Yes. Okay, it's a very fun conversation. We are talking a lot of things about the development of game in Indonesia and even your own game. Thank you very much, Ricky, for joining us in the Voice of Indonesia. We are waiting for another project, maybe from not only from the Kalapanem but also all the friends in Malang, and maybe one of you will come to the top later, at least in the Southeast Asia. Thank you very much, Ricky.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Pleasure is mine.
Other listener, that is Ricky Fabriano, Research and Development at Game Developer Malang, and also CEO at Clapham Games. And from our conversation, we can say that game is a very serious industry. It absorbs a lot of job opportunities for people, and it is also can be a moment of reflection and fun for a lot of people. But the other thing that we can conclude from this conversation is that Indonesia might be taking baby steps towards the development of game, but worry not, we're playing our strongest part in developing these baby steps. And listeners, you can listen again to this conversation on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Kurasakan hangat indahnya sang mentari mengangkatku dari tidur yang lelap ini. Yeah. Oh oh oh, siarmu yang terang mulai memasuki mata dan mengusirku dari alam mimpi. Dan kini ku bergegas untuk segera siapkan diriku untuk mulai menjalani hari ini. Tak sabar ku temui seluruh sahabat yang tersenyum menyambut datangnya pagi ini. Dan ku katakan
embun membasahi dunia dan mulai mengawali hari ini. Dan ku katakan siapkan dirimu untuk
untuk memulai menjalani hari ini.
Selamat pagi, membasahi dunia dan mulai mengawali hari ini. Dan ku katakan selamat pagi, jauh burung bernyanyi. Dan kini ku siap menjalani hari ini.
Menjalani hari ini.
Selamat pagi, kamu membasahi dunia dan mulai mengawali hari ini. Dan ku katakan selamat pagi, jauh burung bernyanyi. Dan kini ku siap menjalani hari ini.
Yeah, I say good morning, the sun's calling. Yeah, I'm feeling fresh, no yawning. I'm gonna brush my teeth, yeah, I'm on it. And I will chase my dreams, cause I'm all in, girl.
Good morning,
yeah,
the sun's calling.
Callin'.
Yeah, I'm feeling fresh, no yawning. I'm gonna brush my teeth, yeah, we're on it.
You're on
it. And I will chase my dreams, cause we're on it.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Rintik demi rintik membasahi muka bumi saat itu, penuh dengan payung. Seketika jas hujan dicari-cari, semua orang inginkan teduh.